नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9। प्रहलाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स। टेक्स्ट 2। साक्षात् श्री प्रसिता देवैर् दृष्ट्वा तं महदद्भुतम् अदृष्टा श्रुत पूर्वतात् सनोपेयाय संकिता। शाक्त ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदन स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून लक्ष्मीजी वॉज रिक्वेस्टेड टू गो बिफोर द लॉर्ड बाय ऑल द डेमिगॉड्स प्रेजेंट हू बिकॉज ऑफ फियर कुड नॉट डू सो। But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Purport. The Lord has unlimited forms and bodily features. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. These are all situated in Vaikuntha. Yet, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, being inspired by Lila Sakti, could not appreciate this unprecedented form of the Lord. In this regard, Srila Madhavacharya recites the following verses from Brahmanda Purana. Adrishtasruta purvatat anne sadharane janai narsimham sankiteva srir lokamoyayana yayo. Like this he quotes two more verses and Prabhupada translates. In other words, for the common man, the form of the Lord as Narsingha Dev is certainly unseen and wonderful. But for a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearsome form of Lord is not at all extraordinary. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can very easily understand how the Lord can appear in any form he likes. Therefore, the devotee is never afraid of such a form. Because of special favor bestowed upon Prahlad Maharaj, he remained silent and unafraid, even though all demigods, including even Lakshmi Devi, were afraid of Lord Narasimha Dev. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana vibhyati. Not only a pure devotee of Narayani like Prahlad Maharaj unafraid of any dangerous condition of material life, but also if the Lord appears to mitigate the fear of the devotee maintains his status of fearlessness in all circumstances. Om Agya. I'd like to beg permission from His Grace Gyanagamya Prabhu and all senior devotees before I start speaking. So we are reading from this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Narasimha Dev, after slaying all the demons, is in a very, very angry mood. And because of that anger and that particular form, even Lakshmi Devi herself is little afraid to approach. Actually, we saw in the previous chapter so many demigods, they immediately offered their prayers as soon as Lord Narasimha sat. And it seems they all offered their prayers from a distance. Nobody was going near him because he is the Supreme Lord and they knew he has done a favor. So they had to immediately say thanks. But nobody was going near. From a distance they were paying their. And when time has come actually to go near him, nobody was able to go. And Lord Brahma is trying to send Lakshmiji in front to pacify. So, because the topic is related to anger, in today's class I would like to speak something based on whatever we study in Bhagavad Gita and other aspects of other Prabhupada's teachings. So first we'll try to understand what is anger, then we'll describe how Narasimhadev's anger is actually purifying for us. It's like two part. So there is a saying, I think it was Aristotle, a philosopher. Something is wrong. Hare Krishna. Aristotle, I think he said, to become angry is very easy. Anybody can become angry. We have seen in local trains, people just get angry. Little instigation and people get angry. So to become angry is very easy, but to become angry with the right person at the right time, to the right extent, for the right cause, so that is not easy. So anger is not overruled altogether by certain philosophers. Similarly, in our philosophy also, Prabhupada many times says, this anger has its use in many places. But it has to be used rightly. So, but anger or wrath, it is for a devotee, practicing devotee, it is not good. Many places we will see how Krishna says one has to overcome anger, propensity to get angry. So the origin of anger is that, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, that when a living entity comes in contact with material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust. And he gives, Srila Prabhupada gives an example, just like milk, when it's touched by tamarind, it becomes yogurt. It's still white, still it's the milk, but only thing is it has transformed because of touch of tamarind. Similarly, mode of passion, when the love, pure love for the Lord comes in touch with passion, material mode, materialistic world, when it comes in touch with that, it transforms into lust. Just like it is still basically love in a different form. Just like yogurt is milk in a different form. Similarly, lust is actually love, but it's in a different form. We see in this world people like man loves woman or woman loves man. So there is some love is there, but this love is actually motivated. Why it is motivated? Because of coming in contact with passion, mode of passion. And because it is contaminated by mode of passion, therefore it is, the whole thing is contaminated, and person who is trying to associate with such a situation becomes sufferer in the ultimate end. So Prabhupada, Lord Krishna explains, when such lust is not fulfilled, is unfulfilled, and it is always remain unfulfilled, actually, we will see that. Lust is always something that cannot be satiated. It can never be satiated. And therefore, he says, if it is unfulfilled, then one becomes angry. Anger arises out of it. This is the origin of anger. That when the lust is not fulfilled, one becomes angry. And that is, we have seen in this world. We have experienced ourselves. Just like it is said that if the lust is fulfilled, then one becomes attached to that sense object and becomes fearful of losing it. He becomes greedy. So all these anarthas come in both situations. If it is fulfilled, then he is attached. If it is not fulfilled, then he is troubled and he is angry. So the lust, the very nature that it can never be satisfied. In the sense, you know, Prabhupada gives example, if there is a fire and one supplies fuel to it, no matter how much fuel we put, the fire will keep burning. Similarly, lust is like a fire. No matter how much sense objects we put in that fire of sacrifice, whatever we may call, it keeps consuming and growing and growing and growing. Therefore, it will never be satisfied. Therefore, anger has to come. Wherever there is lust, anger has to come. It is inevitable. Whereas in case of love, there is always satisfaction. When there is a pure, just like mother serves the child, that is the closest to the pure love, unmotivated. Sometimes the child may create problem, sometimes the child may cry in the night, and sometimes child may pass stolen urine. But still, the mother is not angry at the child, because there is love, principle of love is involved there. Similarly, in spiritual world, when everybody is in a loving relationship, there is no question of unsatisfaction. There is always satisfaction prevailing. And therefore, there is no nobody encounters the anger that we experience here. It is not there. But still, anger is a quality that exists to this Supreme Soul, like we have seen. Lord Narasimhadev is angry. So the spirit soul has this nature to become angry. But again, when that anger is in related with the material nature, then that anger is causing trouble, becomes pulls down a person to the attachment, to the illusion of this world. Prabhupada says, therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity. Because from lust, anger comes. Then anger transforms into illusion. And illusion continues the material existence. How anger generates illusion? This is very easy to understand. Anybody, everybody, all of us has experienced anger at some point of time. We have seen sometimes the son becomes angry against father. Very, very angry. Then he starts calling him names, you know. In India especially, they call father like aap, aisa karke they call. But sometimes when the son is very angry, he says, tu karke bolte hain. We have seen it. This is the feature of anger, that it makes you forget who you are talking to, the superiors. The whole relationship one forgets, that means one is an illusion. And it starts making so many, that is illusion basically. So anger drives one person to illusion, forgets his own existence, takes something else to be something else. And that illusion continues one's material existence. But whereas, anger, if it is spiritual nature, will actually increase one's love for Krishna. We'll see how is it. Somebody may say, is not getting angry bad? I mean, suppose you are supposed to be angry and you are not angry, isn't it bad? People may say, just like somebody, you know, pushes somebody in local train, because he's pushed, he's supposed to get angry. How can you say he should not be angry? So that is, that we will see. Just like sometimes we have seen, a dog chases another dog very fiercely. And this dog who is actually running away, suddenly turns and starts barking at the other dog. And this dog becomes silent. And as if he did nothing, he just turns back and goes away quietly. So you see, somebody is using his anger to protect himself. But still, the spiritual angle is different. Prabhupada says, this is a defense technique, vessel, whatever I said. Just like Prabhupada says, that krodha cannot be stopped altogether. But rather, it needs to be channelized properly. So in the material world, anger is expressed for one's own protection. But spiritual anger is expressed for a different purpose. What is the purpose? To save devotees. And when somebody speaks against the Lord, blasphemes this Lord, Prabhupada says, not for one's own protection, rather for the sake of the Lord and his devotees. This is Vaishnava's way. So somebody may say, well, this is also selfish in the sense that you are trying to protect your man. Somebody may say, but we have to understand, this is actually not selfish. This is not because of lust. It's like, suppose we are friends and somebody else is attacking you and I don't do anything in the name of non-violence. I just remain silent. What does it mean? It means I am with your enemy. It is as good as I attack you. If I don't defend you, that means I am with your enemy. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami once he was telling that sometimes a inside man, he may become a spy to the enemy. That means all the information he gives, although he appears to be our friend, he is not our friend. He says such a man is more dangerous than thousands of enemies on the borderline, fighting on the borderline, because he can easily help them and create a lot of havoc. Similarly, if we are friends and somebody is attacking, it is our duty to protect our friend. Similarly, in Vaishnava communities, when the attack is on one's own self, one should not resist, it is explained. But when it is on Vaishnavas, one must prepare to counter-attack. And there are so many examples like this. Prabhupada says, the point is that one should be ready to tolerate all insults to one's own self. But when Krishna or his pure devotee is blasphemed, a genuine devotee becomes angry and acts like a fire against the offenders. We have seen, like Prabhupada, once they were performing some kind of Bhagavad Gita classes, and afterwards Prabhupada is performing one kirtan and devotees are dancing on the stage. I think it was in Madhya Pradesh. And some kind of cheap people that started pulling devotees and trying to bring them into the crowd so that they can dance with them. But it was like little derogatory. And Prabhupada immediately waved his kartal very fast. And those people who were trying to pull the devotees, they got scared and went away. So I've seen Prabhupada displaying his anger to protect devotees. So it is important that we should, when the time comes to protect, one should not remain silent and say, and follow the principle of non-violence. Prabhupada says, however, when anger is controlled and when it is utilized in the service of the Lord, that means one who applies anger in Krishna's service becomes free from selfish desires and develops love for the Lord. So, we'll see one situation, that how Vasudev, he protected Devaki from the attack of Kamsa. It is explained in Krishna book that there are three dynasties at that time. One was Vaja dynasty, Yadu dynasty and Andhaka dynasty. Three dynasties were there. And Vasudev was born in Yadu dynasty, whose capital was Mathura. And Kamsa was from Bhoja dynasty. And Bhoja dynasty was the most powerful kingdom at that time. And naturally, consequently, Kamsa was also very powerful. And when that Akashvani was there, celestial message, that Devaki's eighth son is going to kill Kamsa, Kamsa immediately, actually he was pulling the cart, the ropes of the horses. It's like driving the car for Devaki. It is explained in Indian culture that when a girl gets married, because she is normally very young as they get used to get married, 14 and 15 like that, and they would go to their in-laws' house, she would go to in-laws' house where she doesn't know anyone. So therefore she would feel very scared and kind of different situation, very morose. Therefore, the brother of the sister, he goes with sister, so that at least somebody is there in the house where she can be comfortable. It was like that. So, similarly, Kamsa takes that role. He says, I am your brother. I will drive your car. So, you can be comfortable. No need to worry. No need to bother. I will always be with you. So, that was the attitude. But the moment the celestial message was there, immediately he left that robes and with the same hand, he caught hold of Devaki's hair and was trying to kill her, about to kill her. And Vasudev saw that he is attacking and he had to protect, he had to act. But at the same time, he understands that Krishna, Kamsa is actually very powerful, being from Bhoja dynasty, a demoniac, very, very powerful. He cannot be counteracted so easily. So therefore he uses many techniques, philosophically explains, death is inevitable anyway. It's not that if the child does not kill you, you will survive. You are going to die anyway. Then he speaks the whole philosophy, how the body, one body, a living entity, soul changes one body and goes to another body. All the philosophy explains to pacify him. But because Kamsa was overpowered by lust, therefore he was not able to understand anything. Prabhupada says it is as if you teach some very good moral principle to a thief, but when the opportunity comes, he steals anyway. He doesn't take any good advice. Similarly, Kamsa did not take any good advice. So finally, he says, he thinks to himself, that the danger is from the child, but the prediction is that child will kill him. So I should tell him that let Devaki live. When the child wants, I will give it to you. And he knows the child is going to kill anyway. So therefore all the situation is solved. So in this way he proposed to Kamsa that why do you kill Devaki? The danger is not from her. In fact, you will face infamy by killing Devaki, a woman. Therefore, you let her live. When the child is born, I will give it to you. And he immediately agrees because he sees in that way his fame is protected. At the same time, the danger is also evaded because he could easily tackle a child. That's what he thought. In this way, we saw how Vasudev, all the situation was very sensitive. He did not remain silent. He acted with all his intelligence and whatever power he had at his disposal. He fought and protected Devaki. So therefore, protecting Vaishnavas is priority number one. So then there are two aspects. One is that anger has to be expressed when others are attacked and the Lord is blasphemed. But when the attack is on one's own self, then he has to resist anger that is arising within. So one may say, that means somebody is timid or very stupid or weak, is not able to express his anger. It's not like that. Actually, resisting anger is more difficult than expressing it. Resisting anger is more difficult than expressing it. So one who has power to resist, he is actually more powerful than one who expresses it. Therefore, the Goswamis, they are addressed sometimes as Maharaj. Maharaj means they have conquered these urges. They have conquered it. Therefore, people call them Maharaj. Means he's like king, powerful. That symbolizes power. So, it's not that the devotees are timid when they're faced with the danger. Like, we can give the example of Srila Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya. Shamanand Prabhu was explaining Sunday how when he was chanting holy name, the Hindus were disturbed. Why he is chanting holy names? He is a Muslim, why chanting our God's name? Therefore they were disturbed. And the Muslims are disturbed because he is a Muslim and chanting Hindu's name. That was the paradox. So both of them were angry on him. And both of them took him to the magistrate. Especially the Hindus, they took them. They said, you should not chant our God's name. And he was thinking, why chanting Hindu's God's name? Our religion is better. That Kaji was thinking like that. And Haridas Thakur heard it, not that he was silent. Because he thought both of them are actually blaspheming the Lord in that way. And he spoke. He said, look at the illusory power of the Lord by which people think it is my God and your God. God is always one. So in this way, he was giving his opinion, not that he was silent. But then they decided to torture him, for which he did not resist. But when the Lord was not understood or spoken in a wrong way, people had different feelings, he was speaking very, very fearlessly. He was not timid, he was not weak. He was speaking. Just like we have seen in the past time of Ramayana, Hanumanji, when he went to Lanka and found out Sita, then there was a small war in which he killed Ravana's son. Brother also? Brother or son? One of the son he kills. And then Indrajit binds him up and takes him to Ravana. Then Ravana actually, out of anger, frustration, he calls many names against Hanuman. You monkey, this, that, so many things he says, just out of frustration. And when all the insults were directed against him, he was not saying anything, he was silent. But as soon as he spoke against Lord Ram, then he was very angry. Hanumanji was very angry. And he was so angry that he burnt the whole Lanka. And he said that they bound him up, and Ravana said, you kill this monkey. Then Vibhishana objected. He said, no, you cannot kill him because after all he is a messenger. How can we kill him? Then he said, okay, the monkeys are very proud of their tail, so we set fire on his tail. And they did it. And when they did it, what Hanumanji did, by his mystic potency, he became very small. When he became small, he came out of that rope. As soon as he came out of the rope, that which is binding him, then he became very large. And Virud was watching, and as Virud was watching, he jumped from roof to roof. And while he was jumping from roof to roof, every roof was set on fire. All the gold and everything, they were melting and flowing in Sri Lanka. And the jewels are like islands in that river, as explained in Ramayana. Anyway, the point is, when Hanumanji was insulted, very, very fiercely, very, very bad words, he tolerated. But when it was against the Lord, he immediately expressed his anger. Then how does one check the anger that arises in one's heart or one's mind when he's faced with a situation or somebody is assaulting him, insulting him? So we can practically try. These are the points that Shastra explains. That when such assaults are there, one should think that he deserves such an assault because of his past karmas. One has to think like that. That actually I deserve this because I did something wrong in my past. Therefore, Krishna has arranged by which this assault has come upon me. Reaction. And because the assault is there anyway, one takes it to understand that this assault will purify me of my sins which I committed in the previously. And because sin is purified, therefore it will help me to serve Krishna in a more pure way. Previously I was not pure because all this reaction was still on my head. Somebody is convicted. So unless he goes to the jail and goes to that term, he is still convicted. But once he comes out of the jail, he is free from that whatever criminal act he did. Similarly, when one goes through these sufferings, which was caused because of past karmic activities, then he is actually free from that reaction. He is more pure now. He is eligible to serve the Lord. And in this way, one can thank the person who is actually an instrument to help him to purify him. So this is what one should think about the person who is attacking from outside. While inside the anger is anyways raging. Outside you may think so many things, but inside the anger is surfacing anyway. So to overcome that, one should meditate on lotus feet of Krishna to control the anger from within. It is explained, I think Yugavatar Prabhu writes one article in BTG magazine. For those who don't read BTG magazine, they can be inspired. I myself have not read, but somebody told me. And Gaurang Prabhu told me actually that Hiranyakashipu sent so many agents to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And they were attacking him, trying to kill him. But all the time, and for Prahlad Maharaj it was a problem because people are attacking, people are trying to kill him. So it's a problem for him. But he never thought about these problems. The problem was there. What he was doing, he was thinking about Krishna all the time. All the time he was meditating on Vishnu. Because he was thinking about Krishna, therefore he was very peaceful from within. The anger was not surfacing. And he knew that whether he stays in this body or not, he had that faith that Krishna is going to protect me all the time. Whether I have this body or not, because he knows his spirit soul. And he knows the Lord is eternal, and he is going to give him protection all the time. So he did not bother. He was thinking, if that is what Lord wants, let it happen. So whenever that attack was coming on him, he was thinking of Krishna. Similarly, Haridas Thakur, that argument was there with the Kaji and all the so-called religious leaders. But then he decided to kill him by beating him up. So he took it upon himself. But all the time he was thinking about Krishna. He was in meditation. He was in constant meditation. So much so that he was unaware that how much beating they are doing. Of course, the Lord was protecting him all the time, like he did with Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore it is important that when one is attacked with physical or mental or whatever it may be, the insults, one has to think of Krishna, not think about how one is defamed or physically attacked. All these things will not help. What will help is actually meditating on Krishna. So, like our in the teachings of Sikshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tranadapi Sunichena, Tararapi Sahishna, Amanena Manadana, Krishna Kirtanya Sadhari. That by practicing this tolerance against assaults, one can actually chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, if you keep thinking about the problems all the time, then you cannot chant Hare Krishna. So whatever is happening out of causeless mercy of the Lord, and it is for my purification, so let me thank Lord and whoever is causing the problem, and in the meantime, able to focus on the lotus feet of the Lord. So people may say, when it is injustice against us, why should we not fight back? So the point is again, if the injustice is against our own self, then we have to tolerate. It's not that anger does not has to be expressed. It has to be expressed. But when others are attacked, but when it's one's own self, one has to tolerate. Otherwise, how will he practice Tranadapi Sunichena? If one has to express anger in all situations, then when will he practice Tranadapi Sunichena? He will never be able to practice. And when lust and anger, they just interact with us constantly, then how can we purify ourselves? So, one has to practice Tranadapi Sunichena in one's life, a sadhaka especially. Pure devotees don't need it because they have already overcome that stage, practice stage. But especially, not in the sense that they express anger, not like that. They are already supremely tolerant. But practicing devotees has to practice it as a principle. Just like in a cricket match or a cricket game, one goes to practice, net practice. In the net practice, the bowler, one does not say that you throw the ball very slow pace so that I can play it, I can hit it. In the practice session, he has to ask him to throw as fast as he could so that when the real match comes, he can actually hit the ball properly and can face it. Similarly, in the small provoking situation comes in our life, if we tolerate it, then when the real provocating situation comes, we will be able to tolerate. So, when one practices like that for a good amount of time, actually overcomes it, then what happens? Krishna says in Gita. He says that before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. So this is the point. Point is that if one is able to tolerate and check it, then actually he is happy. One who is not able to tolerate it, check it, he is always disturbed and is miserable. So even while living in this lifetime, if one is able to check it, he is a happy person. Then again he says, Krishna says in Gita, those who are free from anger and material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in Supreme in the very, very near future. So what he is saying? Self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection. So when one does that, then he is assured of liberation. And in the fourth chapter, Krishna says that being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So by tolerating these urges and not letting it out, one will be able to attain love for Krishna. So that is the greatest gift. And at the same time, by expressing anger against those who are attacking Vaishnavas and Krishna, one will also gain love for Krishna. That is, suppose somebody is attacking you and I am protecting you, then automatically I have a love for you. That's why I am doing it. Similarly, when the attack is against Vaishnavas and Lord, by opposing it, we express our love for Krishna. So, Krishna says, in this particular verse I just told, being freed from attachment, fear, anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. Krishna adds that, by knowledge of me. So the knowledge of me is basically Krishna's pastimes, like Narasimha is getting angry here. That is a pastime. So here, we just spoke about man or woman in this world getting angry. But when he's turned to, when we try to overcome this, then we have to hear about Krishna, knowledge of Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, we see Krishna gets also angry. Then we may think, how is it possible that by hearing Krishna's anger, we will be free from anger? But it is true. Like Narasimha is actually very, very angry here. Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Dibhyam, that my appearance and my activities are transcendental. Krishna's anger displayed in this earth planet, or in this material world, is not the anger that we express. It is transcendental. It is pure. Lord Narasimha displays his anger to protect Prahlad Maharaj. He could kill Harinakashipu anyway, but he especially comes personally and expresses that anger just to show his love for Prahlad Maharaj. And that, not only that, his anger itself is so much, it's in quantitatively so huge, that no mortal in this world, no person in this world can ever express such kind of anger. So there is Krishna's anger. It is explained, when Narasimha appeared, a shrilling sound comes from that pillar. A shrilling sound, it terrifies the whole universe actually. But Hiranyakashipu, being very proud, he was convinced that he is not going to be killed. Hiranyakashipu had that faith, full faith, that he is not going to be killed. This is what happens. Actually, these are the anarthas. The anarthas are like envy, lust, anger, pride. And especially the pride is very dangerous. Because as long as pride is there, nobody is able to recognize all other anarthas. Suppose somebody is angry and somebody tells him, why are you angry? Then he says, no, I am not angry. Or somebody is very lusty, because of pride he thinks that's okay. Some scientist was giving an interview, and the interviewer asked, you don't believe in God, that's okay, but why are you so arrogantly telling it? Why are you telling it so arrogantly? And his answer was, if I'm saying the truth, what is wrong being arrogant? That was his answer. So arrogance doesn't allow one to understand that he is wrong. Therefore, all anarthas, all the six of them, if pride is not substituted by humility, the Krishna says the knowledge begins with humility. Unless one is humble, then all anarthas will never leave him. So this is what Hiranyakashipu was trying to judge. He thinks confidently that I am going to kill this particular whatever has appeared here. Even Vishnu cannot kill because I am protected by Brahma's So everybody was scared, but he was trying to understand, calculating how to handle the situation. So Lord Narasimha appears very angry, and he attacks Hiranyakashipu. He holds him and he lets him go. And then Hiranyakashipu thinks that I have come out by my own power, and I can again attack and kill him. And while he was thinking like that, Lord Narasimha laughs very loudly. It is atahasya. Again, he laughs so loudly that actually at this point Hiranyakashipu becomes scared. He closes his eyes, but still attacks, thinking that I will be able to do it, fully confident. So this is how Lord Narasimha is expressing his anger. And finally he kills Hiranyakashipu, throws him away, and just by the tips of his nails, it is said his nails was carrying thunderbolts or electric discharges. We know in science they say the nails are insulating thing. It can hold free charges. You know, you rub this thing, you know, a silk with the comb, and you get the charges, tick, 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 and the sound comes. A sweater, it comes also, same sound. But he was carrying millions of volts of electric charges on his nails. And just by moving it, all the followers of Hiranyakashipu said, tick, 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 they are all killed quickly. And after killing them, he was looking for more to kill. And he was so angry, he just loudly roared. And that roar was so huge that he said, all the elephants in all the forest, they started crying. Sometimes we hear dogs, they bark loudly, but sometimes they cry. And when they cry, it creates a fear in the heart. But when Lord Narsingadev, because of his lion-like form, he roared, it was so huge that elephants started crying out of fear all over the forest. All elephants started crying. You can understand what kind of fear it must have created. And that is the time the demigods are offering their prayers. And who can dare to go near him? So this kind of anger nobody can display in this planet. This is transcendental. Krishna's transcendental potency is expressing. And all the while everybody was trying to pacify, their concern was that the Lord should pacify. Actually, if somebody is very so displaying his anger for our own sake, we are not afraid of him. Suppose somebody is attacking a devotee and I am angry, then this devotee is not afraid of me because he knows I am angry for him, for his sake, isn't it? So for demigod's sake only, Krishna was killing Hiranyakashipu in one sense. They are not supposed to be afraid of Lord Narasimha, but his display was so fearsome, they were also understruck. They could not approach him. And in this particular verse, Lakshmiji was sent and she says, sorry, I cannot go. Because Prabhupada explains, because of the yoga maya potency, she could not remember or understood this particular form of Lord Vishnu. Just like Nityan Prabhu was telling me, how to understand this? He said, just like sometimes Krishna is afraid to go near Mother Yashoda after committing a crime, stealing butter. He is a little afraid to go near Yashoda. Not that there is no relationship between them, but sometimes he is afraid. Similarly, Lakshmi is a little afraid to approach Narasimhadev. Later, of course, Lakshmi Narasimha deity we worship. She is always with him. But at this particular instance, he was reluctant to go. And in the subsequent verses, we will see how then Brahmaji approaches Prahlad Maharaj and requests him, kindly go. He has appeared for your sake and go and pacify. And as soon as Brahmaji tells Prahlad Maharaj to go, without a second thought, he started walking towards Lord Narasimha. So Prahlad Maharaj, as if he was waiting, because he thought, I am such a small boy and a demoniac family and so many things. So the qualified people are there. So he was not going out of humility. But as soon as he was told, as if he was waiting for the opportunity, he starts to walk and pays his obeisance to Lord Narasimha and starts offering all glorifications, very, very pure glorifications out of love, which we'll be reading in the next few verses. So in this way we see that how one has to control anger when it is arising because of selfish interest, because of lusty desires, but one has to express it when there is a need, like Arjun in Mahabharata. And at the same time one has to hear Krishna's pastimes and practice tolerance and chant Hare Krishna. In this way, one can purify himself of all these anarthas and go back to Krishna, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's 9:15, so any comments? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Pitaya Gaur Premanande.